It's now time for our second feature. Ian Robertson has chosen another story from his book of Margler articles penned by Eric Fowler. This one entitled An Island in Norfolk, published in the Eastern Daily Press in April 1950.
Another Jonathan Mardell story, this one published in the EDP on April the 26th, 1950, about a Norfolk holiday. When I was about 10 years old, we had a holiday at a farmhouse near Horsey. The house was separated by half a mile of marshes from the sandhills and the sea. It was a mile from Horsey itself, where we posted our letters and went to church on Sunday. Apart from that, we were independent of the rest of the world, except that I once went on the milk cart to Martham to get my hair cut. All the marshes and the beach were our family playground, and I do not remember that we saw another soul there, apart from the farmer, his wife, and his five brothers, for a whole month. The marshes to landward of the farm were grazing marshes, where the farmer kept a dairy herd and also bred horses. One day there was an alarm that one of the colts had fallen into a dike, and there we found it up to its neck in black stinking mud, pawing weakly with its forefeet at the bank. The farmer and his brothers got a rope round its neck, but the colt was so far stuck in the mud that we children feared they would pull its head off before they got it out. They heaved like a tug-of-war team until, with a horrible squelch, the colt and the mud parted company. It was a sodden travesty of a horse that struggled up onto the bank, but once free of the halter, he galloped away like a mad thing, and the next day there was nothing to distinguish him from his companions, except that they were black and he was grey, where the mud had dried on him. To seaward of the farm, the marshes were a rabbit warren. There of an evening the farmer would walk with his gun along a low bank called the sea wall, and I and my brothers followed reverently, watching rabbits by the hundred at play all around us. The farmer did not waste powder and shot on them. It was cheaper and more profitable to trap them. The gun was for hares or wildfowl. We often walked barefoot along the sandhills to Winterton, with a wary eye for the thorn faggots put down to hold the sand together. Winterton was then a fishing village and nothing more. We only once went in the other direction to Pawling, where we found other visitors there, and we were jealous of what we regarded as our private seaside. We had a selfish and childish fear that if we showed ourselves at Pawling, the Pawling visitors might show themselves at Horsey. We were a large enough family to need no other company other than our own clan. I suppose you could still find almost the same sort of solitude at Horsey today, for that particular piece of coast is likely to be kept clear because of the damage any large number of seaside visitors might do to the sandhills, which are the only thing that saves the farms from inundation. I remember how years before the Horsey flood, we children were shown the dry mouth of the old hundred stream and the sand hills across it, and told the tales of previous floods. We were warned, too, not to slide down the hills or pluck the marram grass or pull twigs out of the faggots beneath, and we devoutly believed that if we did, we should be the cause of another flood. But Pawling and Winterton nowadays are the haunts of hundreds of visitors and thousands of trippers all summer, and I was surprised on a recent visit to a farmer friend at Hickling to see how the inland villages had grown. The way from Horsey to Martham is much as it was, but Catfield has its wartime airfield. The roads out of Salem are seamed with trenches of water pipes and sewers, and the villages have acquired new houses and light industries. I knew it had happened. I had seen a good deal of it before. But somehow that visit to the Hickling farmhouse threw my mind back to the farm holidays of my childhood. It was at the farm parlour at Horsey on a wet day that I found John Knowlittle's book, Through Broadland on a Braden Punt, and read it from cover to cover, and longed to possess a punt of my own. At Hickling on another day, my host lent me a much older local classic, Oliver Reddy's Life and Sport on the Norfolk Broads, which is all about what a large family of boys did in that district some 50 years before I ever visited it. Oliver Reddy and his brothers could sail and swim as easily as walk. They shot with muzzle loaders as soon as they could hold a gun. They kept dogs, ferrets, pigs, chickens, and a monkey. They had no recreations beyond those Hickling could provide, and needed none. They were alternatively threatened and spoiled by all the farmers, gamekeepers, and marshmen in the neighbourhood. They had no inhibitions, save such as could be imposed by an irate farmer with an ash stick. They were young varmen. Their father was a gentle clergyman who held the livings of Pawling and Waxham for 60 years and seems to have disciplined his wild offspring almost entirely by affection. Commerce with Yarmouth went by wherry and with Norwich by carrier's cart, but for the most part the broads and rivers made the Fleggs an island with their own separate life. The people were part farmers, part fishermen, part wildfowlers, and in the recent past they had also been smugglers. It was a lonely place, but the lives of the young Reddys seemed to have been highly sociable and crowded with adventure. Their enjoyments depended very little on money, yet they lived spaciously. A life of any town boy nowadays is sorely cramped in comparison, and if he got into half as much mischief as they did, he would certainly be classified as a juvenile delinquent and probably psychoanalysed. If I, as a young town product of the 20th century, had found Oliver Reddy's book at Horsey years ago, I should have been consumed with envy. Perhaps it is just as well that I did not find it, for I might have been stirred to emulation, and if I had, I should certainly have made a mess of it. I was only a visitor, and they were natives who got into their scrapes and out of them as to the manner born.